Several times down through the years, it's been pointed out to me that great singing makes fair preaching even sound better. I ought to be able to preach tonight. In fact, I'm thankful for our singing on a regular basis. We appreciate Jonathan tonight. We appreciate Gary regularly. All of you who participate in singing, it helps so very much. Brother Batchel Barrett Baxter, back several years ago, made the statement that in order to really get people to remember something, that a statement or an idea ought to be presented at least five times somewhere in a sermon. I thought of that many times down through the years to try to reemphasize things that are important. I believe that we've been emphasizing some ideas for the last few days that are very important, and to those of you who are here regularly ought to remember all of these already. Our lesson tonight was announced as Three Keys to Success. Perhaps I should have said three P's as keys to success. Pray, promote, and participate. I told Brother Johnson a few minutes ago, I appreciated the fact that he included those three in our closing prayer this morning as we prayed about our gospel meeting. Folks, next Sunday, our gospel meeting begins. And as we talked this morning, we want it to be a time of revival. And I think really we are a step ahead. I think we've started even today with a type of revival in the services that we've had today. And we should really be ready for our meeting next Sunday with Brother Claiborne. I want you to think about those three ideas that begin with the letter P. Pray, promote, and participate. And think about them as I read from Philippians chapter 1, verses 3 through 11, and see if you don't see all three of those ideas involved in these verses. Philippians 1, beginning at verse 3. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making requests with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Even as it is meet for me to think this of you, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my bonds and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, ye all are partakers of my grace. For God is my record, how greatly I long after you all in the bowels of Jesus Christ. This I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment, that ye may approve things that are excellent, that ye may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ unto the glory and the praise of God. I believe when we read that passage that we see all three of those basic ideas, those basic keys for success in that. We just want to talk tonight for a few minutes, perhaps in a bit more of an informal way than we do sometimes, about these three keys of success and how you and I, those of us that are here tonight, really hold those keys to the success of our gospel meeting next week. Let's think for a few minutes about the idea of prayer. You notice here in verses 3 and 4 and also in verses 7 and 8 in this passage, Paul is talking about how he remembers them in prayer. One thing that stands out in Paul's writings is that he's always talking about how I have you in my heart. And I like that statement here. He says to the church at Philippi, I have you in my heart. In other words, I'm always remembering you. And isn't the heart the very seat of prayer itself? Isn't that the place from whence our prayers begin? And if we're going to be praying about anything, if we're going to be praying for anyone, we must have those concepts and those people in our hearts in order to be praying for them. 1 Timothy 2 says, I will therefore that prayer be made for all men. And certainly, we need to be praying about the effort that is before us. I suggest to you tonight that there are three ideas particularly for which we ought to be praying. We ought to be praying for our speaker. We believe we have a man coming who knows how to present God's word, who has prepared himself, who in my opinion is one of the best read men, not only in God's word, but relative to current events, things that are happening. and is as able as anyone I've ever heard to put those events in focus with God's Word. And as he presents these lessons next week, dealing with God's answers to man's questions, to man's basic questions, we believe that he's the man for the job. And yet any man who is a preacher of the gospel not only deserves, but he desires the prayers of others in his behalf. We're not praying for God to put words in Brother Claiborne's mouth. We believe that he has studied and will study in order to be able to do that. But certainly it is in order for us to pray for wisdom on his part, and to pray for health, and to pray for clarity of thinking and sharpness of mind, that he will be able to choose those ideas point by point, and choose the words and choose the scriptures that will prove those things to where it can be clearly understood what he's saying. Certainly we need to be praying for Brother Claiborne throughout this week and throughout the time of the meeting. And then certainly we need to be praying for those who are lost. There are people in our area who have not become Christians yet. There are those who are at most of our services who have not been scripturally baptized into Christ for the remission of their sins. No doubt as he deals next week with these basic lessons, he'll be dealing with becoming Christians. We need to be praying for those who are not Christians, that they might be here, that they might be here with an open mind, that they might be here with an open mind and with a determination to do what's right. We ought to be praying for those who are lost. There are many of our own number who live in Henderson in Chester County who have not been in this building today and who have not been in any building today. Those who one time confessed the sweet name of Jesus Christ and were buried with him in baptism, who then for some reason or maybe a combination of reasons or excuses have turned back from service, among those particularly that we noted this morning who are not involved and who may be negligent in the Lord's work. In a lot of these cases, folks, it's somebody who's not involved in the mire of sin, as we think about sin in that sense. Many instances may be good people, good moral people, people that we love, about whom we're concerned, and yet they're just not involved in the Lord's service. They're just not here. And we believe that that can be a problem also. To him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. And although that verse sometimes is taken to the ridiculous, it still teaches the truth. We need to be concerned. We need to be praying for. Let me encourage you to make at least a mental list, perhaps even a written list, of those whom you love, those whom you know who are lost, and who, if Jesus were to come this very night, would not be ready to meet him and to go enjoy the beauties of heaven. We need to be praying for the lost. And then, you know, when you get right down to it, we need to be praying for ourselves. In fact, perhaps each prayer that's uttered ought to start with that. Maybe we ought to pray for ourselves first, to be sure that we have removed those beams or motes from our lives and that we have the right attitude and that we're really committed. We ought not to be interested in asking somebody else to come unless we're going to be here also. If anything is worth telling others about, it's worth being there myself. We ought to be praying for ourselves that we will have the right attitude, that we will be ready, that we'll put forth every effort that we can, that we will let people know how much we care before the meeting and during the meeting. So we need to be praying for our speaker, for the ones that are lost, and we need to be praying for ourselves. I was just thinking, there so go. If you take 14 days, suppose we've been praying for this meeting for 2 weeks when it starts. And just suppose that you took 500 people, and there are more than that here tonight, but just take 500 as a rounded off figure. If 500 people prayed once a day for 14 days, that's 7,000 prayers uttered to God in behalf of our meeting. And if you raise that number to the number that's here tonight, number that was here this morning, look at the prayers that are uttered, and don't tell me that prayer doesn't do good. I know it does. The Bible teaches it. I know by experience. I think you do too. And that experience, not by itself, but along with the teaching of God's Word, proves to us that there is power in prayer. Be praying for our meeting. The second key to success is to promote it. Anything that's worthwhile not only should be in our prayers, but it's worth promoting. If this gospel meeting is worthwhile, if it's something that will do good, we'll tell every person we can about it. You know, I believe we ought to have the attitude toward this meeting this next week that grandparents have toward their grandchildren. Some of you that were about to go to sleep awakened then, didn't you? Wouldn't it be wonderful if we could have the same attitude toward everybody that grandparents have toward their grandchildren? There's one thing that will help you to learn to listen, and that's to spend some time with grandparents. If you've never listened before, you're going to. Why? Because they're going to tell you about their grandchildren. They believe they're important. They're going to promote the idea that these are the finest grandchildren in the entire world, and I'd be disappointed if you didn't think that as a grandparent. But look what the idea is there. Look how we ought to be promoting something that is so worthwhile. We have something, folks, that's going to happen that's good. Something that's important. I believe these lessons that are going to be presented next week are lessons that I need. Lessons that I need to get others to come and hear. I need to be promoting that in every way that I can. One way we can promote it is to talk it up. You just get people talking about something and it catches on. We'll be doing this all the time, but especially during the preparation and during the time of our gospel meeting. Talk it up. Let me make a suggestion. I'd like to ask each one of you who's a member of the congregation here at Henderson, who's listed in our directory, to call the next four families after your name in the directory sometime this week and talk to them about the gospel meeting. Just look in the directory where your name is. That means I'm going to have to call Dal Flat and try to persuade him to come. Because he's the next one after my name. But call the next four in the directory after your name. That should mean that everyone would get at least one call. Somebody may get four. And if you get four calls this week, just thank God that four people thought of you. Let's promote the meeting among ourselves. Let's tell each other that we need to be here. Let's talk it up among ourselves, and let's tell others who are not members here as we're out in the community and on the job. Tell every person tomorrow, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, throughout this week about the meeting. See if you can let them know at least the details of the meeting and invite them to come. Let's talk it up. That's a way to promote it. And then let's do everything that we can to invite people to come to the meeting. As we've mentioned before, there are these little postcards that are available with a picture of our building on the front, placed on the back to write a message. And as of today, it'll take 15 cents. But why don't you pick up a few of these cards tonight and mail them to somebody and tell them about our gospel meeting. Sign your name and in that message somehow or other say, I'd like for you to come. I'd like for you to come and sit with me. Sit on the pew where I sit next week in all of these services that you can. We have these flyers that have been prepared that we'll be using in other ways, but pick up a few of those, fold it up, put it in an envelope, send it to somebody. Down here somewhere, write a little personal message. Say, I wish you'd come and hear these messages. I wish you'd come and be with us in our services. Telephone is worth so much. Personal contact. I just don't believe there's anything that we can do that's more important than personal contact. I say to every one of you who's here tonight, who lives in this area, there's got to be somebody in this area that you can come nearer getting to come to the meeting than anybody else that's here. And if you don't do it, somebody else may not do it. Promote the gospel meeting. Tell other people about it. There are two or three special efforts that we have planned this week, and I want to ask you to be involved in this if you can, and I want to really encourage you to be involved. On Thursday night, we're going to meet and go to the dorms on campus and go from room to room, knock on doors, and invite every student that we can to be involved in this meeting. And we hope that men have already had the promise of many of the students that will help us to do that. And by the way, let me just stop and especially tell the Freed Hardeman students something that you may not know. And this will give you an idea of how much we want you to be involved in this meeting. Our meeting was originally scheduled to begin today, before we knew the circumstances of this month. Back about the time I moved here, about 4 or 5 months ago, an elders' meeting, we began looking at it. Some of the elders said, you know, we need to look at that because that's going to be just after the students have been so involved in their program at school, and we need to give them a little time to rest a bit. too much too soon. I agree with them. I think it was a good decision. We began talking about the time of services. Somebody said, let's have it at 7 instead of 7:30. We believe this will help a lot of people, especially our students. A lot of thought and effort has gone into this. We want every student on campus who possibly can to hear every one of these lessons. We know it's a busy time. We know that you need to study. We know there are a lot of activities involved, but we believe setting the meeting like we have with only two services added to our regular services, the time that's been set, the planning that's gone into it, we're asking every student who possibly can to be here at every service. And talk it up among yourselves. Help us to tell others who may not be here tonight. You know, if you just take out that an hour, maybe just a few minutes over an hour to come and be here in the service and then to get back to your dorm or wherever you live, that hour can be very meaningful to you. And helping to keep your life straight. And I think it can even help you in your studies and in your life and in your schoolwork. We're asking you to help us in that. And ladies and gentlemen of the congregation here, if you possibly can, mark Thursday night. We'll be telling you more about it Wednesday night, the time and everything. And be with us. Oh, it'll be great just to be together, just a group of us to go over on campus and just visit with one another and with the students. That'll be a great in and of itself. But that's not the end. That's a means to the end of promoting our meeting. And then next Saturday morning, some of you are planning to get together. Some of us are planning to get together for breakfast, pray together next Saturday morning. Again, more will be said about that as on Wednesday night. I believe the breakfast is at 8. And then at 10 o'clock, we want people of all ages. Our young people usually respond, and I've had some of the college students call me in the last day or two and say, when is it we're going out door to door in town? Next Saturday morning at 10 o'clock. We want those of you that are the older generation, the middle generation, the college students, the teenagers, even the smaller boys and girls, what better could you do than bring a little son or daughter of yours and take him with you and go out and go up and down the street and go to doors and knock and pass out flyers and invite people to our meeting? Well, you'll find out that even the smaller ones will enjoy this. We're asking at least 100 people. We ought to have 200 or more here next Saturday at 10 o'clock. Make your plans, be here. Let's get out and let's let this town know that we're doing something in which we believe. We believe it's worthwhile. You let the people in Henderson see that we mean business and that we're sold on what we're doing. And some of them will come even out of curiosity's sake, as well as being interested in something that's that meaningful. I really believe, folks, that some of the greatest sermons that are ever preached are not preached from this pulpit, but are preached as people in this community see us. And I'm going to tell you something. If your neighbor sees you at home mowing the yard next week, about the time we ought to be here at the services, or sees you go into the house and hears the television going at the time that we ought to be here at services, there's not much use in you asking me or anybody else to go and visit that neighbor and invite them to church. It just won't work. We need to promote the meeting and put forth every effort that we possibly can. Invite some people to come and to come with you. Go by and pick them up. Sometimes when I look at the parking lot, I think we have more cars that attend church than we do people. I think sometimes maybe we drive one, go back and get another one and bring it. But a lot of times, seriously, only one or two people in the car. Find some people and bring them with you next week. Look at the children on your street that are not going anywhere. Call them and ask them if they wouldn't like to come with you to one service of the meeting next week. Go by and pick them up. You'd be surprised how many would like to come and how many parents will let them come and maybe even come with them. And now here's another wrinkle let me throw out to you. Invite somebody to come over and eat with you next week and then bring them to church with you. I was in a gospel meeting back a few years ago, and it was one where I was driving back and forth, and I couldn't get there in time to eat supper. You know, they always want to invite the preacher out to eat. And so the first service of the meeting, I said, I want to ask you to do something. Instead of inviting the preacher out to eat this week, you just invite somebody else in his stead and bring them with you to church. One family invited 13 people one night. They said they thought that's what I would have eaten if I had come to eat with them that night. Invited 13 people to eat with them and brought them to services. Try that next week. Our zone suppers are involved, but especially the nights that you're at home, ask somebody to come eat. Bring them with you to the zone meals. In other words, you get the idea? Promote our meeting and then participate. I like that statement there in Philippians 1 where he said, being filled with fruits of righteousness. And he talked about performing something. And he said, you know, I thank you for the fellowship that you've had with me in the gospel. He may have been particularly talking about financial help there, but perhaps even more than that. Paul was emphasizing how important it is to participate. Now, on this point of participation, I want you to think about three things. We need to participate before, during, and after each of the services of our gospel meeting. Participate before by coming yourself with the right attitude, being sure that you've come to hear God's word and to encourage others. You know, coming with the right attitude just means so much. Being able to learn from any service and to get the most out of it. Sometimes the reason we don't get more out of our services is because we don't come with the right attitude. So participate, get yourself ready to participate before you come. Try to free yourself of other things that would hinder. Now, I realize there are some things beyond our control. I'm sure there's some of you here tonight who have things next week that are such that you just cannot. That it's not reasonably possible for you to be here at every service. And if God understands, we must understand. But folks, most things can be arranged if we start early enough. Begin to make arrangements to free yourself to where you can be here. And be here early if you can. I want to ask you to just appoint yourself to the greeting committee. Be here a few minutes early and be at one of these doors. We've got more doors to this building than any building I've ever seen. I've tried to figure out where to stand as people come in and as they leave. I've come up with a way to stand between two doors out there in front and catch them with both hands going out. But we got a bunch of doors, but we got a bunch of people too. Be here and greet the people, and let's not let a visitor walk in this building without somebody being there to shake their hand, tell them they're glad they're here, and invite them back and help them find a seat. Be here and be involved in greeting. And while we're talking about the before, let's talk about the after just a moment. Do the same thing afterwards. When a service is over, and on this, don't even wait till next week. Do it tonight. When the service is over tonight, turn around where you are and see how many people you can speak to. Move around the building. Those that are visitors, speak to them. Young people, do the same thing. If a young person visits our services here and you as young people are sure that you speak to that young person, tell them we're glad you're here, come back. We want you to know we're glad you came. It'll do something for us. It'll do something for them. It'll make them want to come. So before the service and after the service, greet. And then after the service, in your own personal case, apply what's said. Go home and maybe just take 5 minutes and sit down after you get home and say, what did the preacher say tonight? How does that apply to me? How can I put it in my life tomorrow? How can I be a better Christian tomorrow? That's what this is about. We're not just having a gospel meeting to say we had one. We're not just going to come and see how many people we can have in this building. I like the numbers. I like to see people, the numbers big because we're dealing with souls. But that's not really what's important. It's important to come to a service like this, like our meeting, to learn something so that we can get out there the next day and put it into effect. And then during the meeting. When this service starts, and you are so great here in this congregation about being ready to be involved when the service starts, when the song leader gets here and starts singing, sing. When we pray, let's pray. When the preacher's preaching, let's listen. Let's be involved. You see, sometimes we miss a point. You are not really the audience tonight in this worship service. God is the audience. All of us are giving our worship to God. And therefore, we need to sing and we need to pray. If these visitors come and they look at us and you and I are sitting there or standing there during the singing as though we didn't have a friend in the world, not singing praise to God with a sad look on our faces, what kind of an impression is that going to make? But if people come into our building and they hear us lifting our voices in praise to God, and they look around and everybody is singing and everybody looks as though they're happy and singing praise to God, and when we pray, everybody is quiet and listening. Praise together. When the preaching begins, God's word is being read, everybody's listening to that. Maybe taking notes, if not on paper, at least mentally. Now that's what we're talking about, participation. Pray, promote, participate. The success of our gospel meeting will be what we make it. Brother Claiborne is important, and he'll do his work. I'm convinced of that. But folks, the success of this gospel meeting is on your shoulders and mine. To pray, to promote, and to participate. And as we think about those three ideas, I want to close the lesson tonight by getting just a bit more serious than I have in anything tonight. And that is to ask each one of us, particularly those of us that are members of the Henderson Church, to really stop tonight and look at ourselves and ask, is my life where it ought to be to really be able to pray, to promote, and participate? You see, 1 Peter 3 talks about a way in which our prayers can be hindered. If we don't live as we should, our prayers can be hindered. And Matthew 18, for example, talks about the problem when we offend someone else. You have anything in your life tonight that would be offensive to a visitor if that visitor came to our services during our gospel meeting? Romans 14 says we need to be even concerned about weak brethren. This is 1 week before our meeting begins, and it seems to me that what we really need to think about tonight, in order to be able to pray, promote, and participate is my life right? Am I where I can stand up and hold my head high and do everything that I need to do the Lord's work and encourage others? If not, I need to get that right tonight. Because, you see, if you're not a Christian, if you don't obey the gospel tonight, there'll be one more person that can be praying for our meeting this week. Or if you haven't lived as you should as a child of God, if you come back tonight and make things right with God, that puts you in a better position to be praying, promoting, ready to participate in this gospel meeting. And so I ask you just as seriously as I know how to look at your life tonight. God knows it and you know it. You know it better than anybody else knows it. If you're not a Christian, obey the gospel tonight. If you need to come to ask for forgiveness and prayers, come tonight, even now, as together we stand and sing.
Why from the sunshine of love wilt thou roam farther and farther away? Calling today, calling today. Jesus is calling, is tenderly calling today. Jesus is calling the weary to rest. Calling today, calling today. Bring him thy burden and thou shalt be blessed. He will not turn thee away. Calling today, calling today. Jesus is calling, is tenderly calling today. Jesus is waiting, oh come to him now, waiting today, waiting today. Come with thy sins at his feet fully bound, come and no longer delay. Calling today, tenderly calling today. Jesus is pleading, oh lift to his voice. Hear him today, hear him today.
Please. 534.